Praise the Lord. One of the things that we're thankful for to the Lord is the Word of God, and we believe in its power. And what a blessed opportunity that God has given us to be here to hear the Word of God as Pastor Yida would minister the Word of God. And yeah, praise the Lord. Good to see you. Blessing to see you again. Praise the Lord.
Always.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
One, two. Thank you. Always to be here with my family here at the New and Living Way Christian Church. I can't even express the gratitude that I hold in my heart for each one of you, because truly you are family. And always to enter into this house with thanksgiving, and to know that true praise and worship goes up to God is just something never to be taken casually or for granted. And so just being in the presence of God, you know, we ought to just bow and fall to our knees, that he allows us to worship him, you know, that we've been given that privilege and that honor. And so I want to thank Akila for coming today. And I've just made her acquaintance maybe a month ago. We've just met. She's a new friend that God has given me. And we are serving in a ministry together, and so we're getting to know one another, and I thank God for you. And she said she was coming, and she came. She's a woman of her word, so we thank you, Jesus. I know that you'll be blessed by this family, as they are already blessed by you, I can tell. And, of course, to Dina, my sister in the Lord, and friend, my dear friend. And so I asked Pastor Monette if she could share something today. She's a minister of the gospel. She's got word in her. She's a preacher teacher. And so I just wanted to give her that opportunity to share, you know, what God has put on her heart. I don't know, so I'm going to be pleasantly surprised and blessed as you are. So if Dina would come forward.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's always such a joy to be here. I love the love of God that is truly shed abroad in your hearts. Every time I come here, I'm so blessed, and truly is family. I have to agree with that. The Lord put in my heart to share a testimony with you, and I believe the Lord is going to ignite overcoming power within you today. And so, you know, the Lord has given us tools in his word. He tells us different tools that he gives us. And so I want to talk about one today, and it's out of Revelation 12, verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. Many of us are probably very familiar with this, have heard this many, 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 many times. Revelation 12, verse 11 says, "And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death." So this is how we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb. And so the testimony I want to give to you today is how I overcame an injury by the blood of the Lamb. But the first testimony I want to share, there's three different testimonies that I'm going to share with you. The first one is it was a miracle. I had fractured one of the vertebrae in my spine and couldn't walk for almost 6 months. And I remember someone coming over, and they laid hands on me, and I felt this fire come on my back. I felt such tremendous fire. I thought, what do they have in their hands? I was a new believer. And then they said, "Well, get up." And I'm like, "I don't know if I can do that," because I'd been in so much pain. So they said, "Well, just try to sit up." So I started sitting up, and I'm like, "Wow, I feel no pain." Started sitting up again, no pain. And I got up and I was able to walk. No pain. Complete freedom. I could walk around. I could jump. I could do all kinds of stuff that I couldn't do before. So that was a miracle. I believe that was a miracle. The second time I had an injury was in my left shoulder. And so I'm like, cool, I know how to do this. I'll have someone come pray for me, lay their hands on me, and I'm going to experience that again. Well, that didn't happen. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I believe you. This is going to happen. I believe what your word says, that by the blood of Jesus, by the stripes that you shed, that I'm healed. I'm healed. And so I started praying for myself. Nothing happened. And I continued just to thank the Lord. And this was a work injury, so there's a process you have to go through. So I was going to the doctors, and I said, I'm not going to need surgery. I'm not going to need surgery because Jesus is going to heal me. So this went on for a couple of months, going to the doctors, and they said, you need to make a decision. Are you going to take this surgery or not? And I was challenged by the Lord. He said to me, who are you to choose the way of your healing? I said, wow, okay. So I went ahead and scheduled the surgery. He specifically told me things to do to get ready for the surgery. So I did those things. Eat a certain way. Eat this. Don't eat that. Do this. Don't do that. So I did that. And I had the surgery, and it was a complete success. I was able to have range of motion like they never thought I could. And on top of that, my recovery was 3 times more than what most people have. So then I was able to share with the surgeon exactly what happened. I said, I hear from God. This is what he told me to do. And so he said, wow, I'm going to do that with my patients now. So you never know how God is going to do what he's going to do. And there's a reason for it. Not only was it for me, but it was for the surgeon. It was for the rest of his patients, for him to be able to share this secret that God had showed me. So you just never know. So the next time, I had refractured my L4, L5, S1. And at this time, I wasn't able to work. And so I wasn't flat on my back, but I was going to therapies and doing all kinds of things. But I read this verse, and I took it to heart. And so every morning, like therapy, I would lay my hands on my spine, and I said, by the blood of Jesus, this spine will align. It will be divinely aligned to the word of God. And so a couple times a day I would do that. So I continued to do that. And today I'm doing things that they said I would never do. I'm able to walk without having pain. I'm able to do this, go like this, do all kinds of things that I couldn't do before. So I tell you all that to remind you that it's the Lord who's given us authority. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 9. Well, let's start in verse 1. It said, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them out 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandals, and greet no one. So he sent them out. He told them what not to do. Don't bring these things with you. And make sure you don't have this. And he said, don't greet anybody. I found that very strange, right? Don't say hi to anybody. Don't. So it's important to know what the Lord is telling you to do. It's important to know what your go is. But whatever house you enter first, say peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter in, and they receive you, eat such things and they set before you. Heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God is near to you. So I want to propose to you that the Lord is saying today, he wants you to heal the sick. Let's go down to verse 19. It says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, which serpents is kind of, it's figuratively speaking of like a very artful, malicious person. That's what the original intent is. And especially Satan. It says to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How much power? All the power of the enemy. So the Lord has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So I believe today, Lord wants to heal some people. And while I was sitting here, I walked in, and when I walked in today, I didn't have any pain. And sometimes the Lord will kind of talk to you in different ways. Sometimes he talks to me in my own body. And so today, when I walked in, I felt this sharp pain behind my left shoulder. Is there anybody here that has sharp pain in their left shoulder or behind their left shoulder? Left shoulder. Anybody? Raise your hand if you do. Okay. And then my right hip. Right hip is you? Okay, can you guys stand? Just the ones who raised their hands. Okay, I'm not going to pray for you, but somebody else is going to pray for you. Who's a believer in here? Who wants to raise their hand? Who's a believer? Who's a Christian? All of you? Everybody. Can I have someone come up here? Come on. So in Mark chapter 16, it also tells us that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Okay? Can I have someone else come up here and pray for this sister? Anybody? Okay, I will. You want to pray for Pastor? It was her hip. Right. So I just want to show you how I can do this. It's very simple. Real, real simple. As believers, we can just simply say, Father, I thank you that you hear my prayer. I thank you, Father, that you have given me authority. I thank you, Lord, that you said when we lay hands on the sick that they will be well. So right now we just release the blood of Jesus into this left shoulder right now in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. We send the blood of Jesus to heal right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that you're at work in this shoulder right now. We thank you that you're working in the ligaments. We thank you, Father God, that you're working in the bones. We thank you, Lord God, that you're loosening up the muscles right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord Jesus. How is it feeling? Can you move it? Is the pain gone, or do you have just a little bit left? How does it feel now?
Feel better.
All right. So we can just believe God's going to do it some more. It's like therapy. Sometimes you just have to a little bit more. So, Father God, we thank you that you do a completed work today. We thank you, Father. We release healing to our body right now in the name of Jesus. We release the shalom of God into our body in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that good? All right. Bless you. Thank you. So I just want to encourage you, and I want to charge you today to be sensitive to the people around you. Someone's in pain. Just take a step of courage out and just say, you know what, can I just pray for you? And it doesn't even matter if they're believers or not. That's the best time, because when God shows up and heals someone's body, then they'll say, wow, what happened? Who are you? And then you can tell them about Jesus.
Wow, my goodness. You know, what an opportunity, my brothers and my sisters, we have. And let me just say this. I'm so thankful that God is the healing God. But I'm also thankful that we are his healing agents. Can we understand that? That because of who he is and because of what he's done, and because that he abides in us as believers, we are healing agents. Do we understand that? We, because of who Christ is, because of what he did on the cross, because of the stripes he took upon his back, because we confessed him as our Lord and our Savior, he said, now I indwell you, and who I am in you. So I just want to encourage you that when somebody offers you an opportunity to come forward and lay hands on those who are hurting, those who need healing, can I just say right now, we ought to be running, not us begging for you to come on up to the altar. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You ought to be running and seize the opportunity to lay hands on your brother, on your sister, and say, it's not me who's healing her. This is on you, Jesus. It's your word. It's what you did at the cross. It's what I'm called to do. And so I run to lay hands on the sick. What an opportunity God has given each and every one of us. Are we believers? Do we believe that Christ is a healing God? Do we believe that it is his will to heal? Do you believe that he abides in you? Then when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. They shall be healed. The rest is up to God. That's what I've got to believe. So you know, we might say so, but some walk away unhealed. That's on God. You leave that up to him, but I'm seizing the opportunity to lay hands on somebody and declare them healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Church, if we don't believe, who will? Where are the believers? The lost are not the believers. Where are the believers? So we must begin to believe this. You know, the word of God says that those who believe in God, they shall do great and mighty works, mighty exploits, not for our glory, not for our fame, but for his glory. That's what God came to do. When he walked the earth, you know, he did three things. He came teaching, preaching, and healing. And he's still doing that today, preaching, healing, and teaching through us, you and me. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you right now for who you are, the things you've done, what you're doing, and what you're about to do. I declare that my sisters are healed in Jesus' name. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are, Lord Jesus. I thank you that it's what you came to do. You came to save, Lord Jesus. And so I declare in this house, we are the saved of the Lord. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We're the healed of the Lord. And so this is the day when we rise up and say who we are in and through Christ Jesus. I pray that we do not waste a moment, Lord Jesus, to save the lost, to heal the sick, to encourage those who grow weary, to give hope to the hopeless, Lord Jesus. Time is short. Jesus is coming soon. And so let us occupy till he returns. Let us do what God has called us to do, empowered us to do, anointed us to do for his glory. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this blessed day, for this blessed opportunity. I thank you, Father God, for your word. Your word is true. Where the will of God is known, where the will of God is known, run with the word, Kurabasha. Run with the anointing, Kurabashasha. I thank you that there is freedom still to preach your word, Lord, in these United States of America. And so we do, Lord, and we will, Lord Jesus. And while we can pray, Lord, we're going to pray. Invade heaven, Lord, with your word. Pray your prayers and bring them down to earth, Lord Jesus. I thank you that these are the days of signs and wonders. I declare now is the time of signs and wonders. I declare that now is miracle time, Lord Jesus. Now let the miracles that are in heaven download onto earth, Lord Jesus. We need miracles here, now, my God. Korabashasha. Lord, for those who don't come to church, Lord, we call them in. But there are those that still will not, Father God. But they'll be drawn to you through a miracle, Lord Jesus. So I loose the miraculous in our midst. Lord, in our workplaces, in the schoolhouses, Lord. In our cars, on the school bus, walking the highways and the byways, in our cars, Lord. Miracles in your house, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are miracles of God. We're miracle agents, my God. Kurabashi. Lord, I lift up the name of Jesus. We've been singing about your name, Lord. Now we're going to declare and decree your name, Lord. We decree and declare the power of the name of Jesus. Jesus, you're the one. Jesus, you're the one true God. Jesus, you're my healing God. Jesus, you're my saving God. Jesus, you're my redeeming God. You are my God and we are your people. Kurabash. I declare your name, Father God, in the marketplace, from the rooftops, and I loose it, the power of that name in your house today, Lord Jesus. Power of the name of Jesus in this place today, my God. I thank you for every man, woman, and child that's here today, Lord. Have your way in their hearts, Lord. Have your way in their lives, Lord Jesus. Touch us, transform us, change us, Lord Jesus. Correct us, admonish us, encourage us, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord, wherever there is a need, Lord Jesus. I know you can fill. You can fill, you can restore, Lord. You can transform, you can heal. Let the blood of Jesus flow to every area of need today. Some may sit here today, Father God, with a financial need. Come meet Jehovah Jireh. Meet the God who provides exceedingly abundantly and sometimes even extravagantly. Hallelujah to you. Some may sit here today, Father God, hurting and with an unfavorable diagnosis from the man called doctor. But Dr. Jesus, the supreme doctor, Jehovah Rapha has declared your healing today. Some sit here today perhaps weary and heavy burdened and yoke bound. But you came to loose, release, and set free. The word of God says, whom the Son has set free, whom the Son has set free, whom Jesus has set free, is free indeed. By the deed of the cross at Calvary, Jesus set us free. We are loosed, we are set free. Hallelujah. We walk in freedom, not a free for all, as some would say, but we walk in the freedom of the Lord, where there is order and there is peace and there is calm. where there is blessing abounding. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you, acknowledge you. You're in the house. Help us to revere you, Lord Jesus, to give you honor that you are worthy of, to worship you, Lord, not just when it's time to stand and sing, but to worship you with our lifestyle, with the way and the manner in which we live our lives, with the way and the manner in which we walk out Christianity. Let that be the worship unto you, Lord Jesus. And so thank you for being with us here today, Lord. Thank you that this is not a holy visitation, Lord. This is the house that you indwell. You live here. You call this place your home. And thank you that you welcome us. We are welcomed in the house of God, and even to come sit at his feet as he sits upon the throne. Thank you for that honor and that privilege. And the people of God, we say, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to share a little bit with you of what I preached at the church that both Dean and I attend, Kingdom Covenant Church, out in Lake Forest. And so, but how many know, you know, the word is alive and it's living. And so it takes on a new sound, a new tone. It takes on even a new life. You know, though you might have preached it last week, it's still a new and fresh word today. Amen. How many know this word goes across time? It crosses centuries. It transpires through and becomes alive again. And all God asks us to do is, when you hear, apply faith to what you hear. And it'll come alive for you. And so last Sunday, I spoke about that God is a covenant God. I spoke about Old Covenant, New Covenant. I spoke about Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. And so if you go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, I spoke about being children of the Old Covenant and being children of the New Covenant. How many know that we are children of the New Covenant? God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ, the new and better covenant. Amen? That's who we are. Children of the new and better covenant. But the Bible speaks to us about Mount Sinai, which is a representation of the old covenant. And so I'm going to read verses, let's go to, in Hebrews 12, we're in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to read maybe 18 through 29, but maybe skip around a little bit. So if you'll go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to begin in verse 18. For you, take this personally. How many know this Bible is personal? Don't be casual about the Bible. It speaks to you. Amen? For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Can you imagine that? This mountain, Mount Sinai, was such a fearful mountain. It burned with fire, dark and tempest. There was a sound of a trumpet, voice of words that the people feared, begged. We don't want to hear those words anymore. That's Old Covenant. That's Mount Sinai. Verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that even Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Even Moses, one of our beloved patriarchs, said, I, Moses, I am fearful, I'm trembling, because Old Covenant is all about terror and lack of holiness and condemnation and pointing out sin. Old covenant is about you can only come so close to God, but no further. Old covenant is not about forgiveness and salvation. It's about condemnation and guilt. No wonder the Israelites were afraid to come to that mountain. Imagine even coming near the mountain and being burned because old covenant, you could never be holy enough. That's Mount Sinai. That's what that represents. But somebody say, thank God for the new covenant. Thank God for Mount Zion, which represents new covenant through Jesus Christ. And so read with me now, verses 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. You and I, we've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church. Listen to this. The church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. You and I have come to Mount Zion, the new and better covenant. We come to it because of Jesus Christ. He's the bridge. He's the covenant that we've entered into. And at Mount Zion, you come with sin and say, Lord, forgive me, and you're forgiven. See, Mount Sinai, you couldn't approach it. You couldn't get near God because you were sinful. And he was not a forgiving God in the old covenant. But the new covenant, he loves you. He forgives you. He doesn't condemn you. In fact, he took that at the cross. He said, I'll take the condemnation. I'll take the guilt. I'll take their sin. And I'll give them love. I'll give them forgiveness. I'll give them salvation. I'll give them healing. Thank God for the new covenant. And verse 23 says, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn. You know, as I read that, I thought, well, what is significant about the church of the firstborn? What are you saying to us? What are you bestowing on us now? See, old covenant, you were never going to be honored. You weren't worthy of being honored, old covenant. But new covenant, God says, you are the church of the firstborn. He's bestowing honor on you as a firstborn. Listen, in my family, I've got two older brothers. I'm the youngest and obviously the female. Culturally speaking, traditionally speaking, mankind culture, the man is honored always first, given the inheritance always. Second man is honored. The woman, she's left out. No inheritance. No honor. I'm a third child, and I'm a girl child. But God says every one of his children is firstborn. I consider you firstborn. I give you firstborn honors. You don't need to be a male. You don't need to be. All you need to be is my child. And I honor you, and I leave to you, woman of God, third child, fourth child, fifth child, I leave to you a mighty inheritance. And I play no favorites. You all get equal share. Equal share in the rights and the privileges of the new covenant. You're a firstborn child in the general assembly, in the house of God, in the church of God. God is bestowing upon you honors and privileges that culturally speaking, in this country and so many others, only the first male child would get. But how many know that's not so with God? It's not his culture. His culture is to not be a respecter of male or female, older or younger. All come to him equally, and he honors us equally. Hallelujah. That's new covenant blessing. You get new covenant blessing. Verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. It's who he is. How many know he fights our battles? How many know through Jesus we plead our case before the Father? How many know we come to the Father and He can only see us through the blood of His Son? Jesus is our mediator. Jesus is our intercessor. Jesus is your attorney. He's our high advocate. It's because of who He is that we have mediation. And through Jesus, I don't know about you, but we always win. He wins every case. How many know Jesus has not lost one? That's why you and I are here today, because He mediated to the Father on our behalf. And the Father looked down and saw His blood shed and said, they win, they're saved. They win, they're entering in. They win because of what you did. They're forgiven. They're forgiven. They get to come in to the heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. Who's speaking today? The Word of God is speaking. That's Jesus Christ. See to it that you do not. That you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape it if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. How many know God speaks from heaven? And He's speaking on earth. His Word. He sent His Word so that we would have Him speaking to us today on earth. He sent us the Holy Spirit so that we could hear the voice of God, hear the heart of God, the message of God, so that we would be drawn to God, so that we would have conversation with God. Holy Spirit is our communicator. We get to hear Christ. We get to hear the Father. And they hear us. How do you know that they hear us? Through answered prayers. You lift up your prayers. You get them fulfilled. And He answers. Hallelujah. And so I'm just going to read on quickly here because I want to go over some other points. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. How many know His voice still shakes the earth? How many know when God speaks, His people tremble? But it's not in fear, it's in awe. We are in awe of His majesty. Now Satan trembles in fear. But you and I, we don't have to tremble in fear. Hallelujah. Our God speaks and we go, speak, Father. Speak, Jesus. And we're in awe. Not so with the devil and his demons. They tremble at the very mention of the name of Jesus. Do you know you don't have to preach to the demons? You don't have to teach the demons. Here's what you got to do. Know the power of the name of Jesus. And declare it. And they will tremble. The Word of God says they will even flee. They will flee at the mention of His name. Spoken, delivered, decreed, prophesied in faith. In faith. You know, you just can't say the name casually and not have an understanding of what that name possesses. And who He is and what He's done. You got to know who He is. Know the power of that name. Wow, we were singing that song, and I tell you what, it was like all through this sanctuary, all through this building, there was power being loosed and released for whatever you have need of. My brothers and sisters, whatever you have need of, God is here to deliver. Whatever the need is, God meets the need. Hallelujah. Verse 27, now this, yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. I say all that is of God shall remain. That's what this word is telling us. All that is of God shall remain. It cannot be shaken. Everything else, the word says, shall be. This earth shall be shaken. But how many know? Heaven will not be shaken. Where are you a citizen of, first and foremost? That's right. Some of us were born here. Some of us maybe in the Philippines. Others were born maybe in Puerto Rico. Others maybe were born in Colombia. Others maybe in Africa. It doesn't matter where you're born. If you're a child of God, your first citizenship is in heaven. And I don't need a Visa card. I don't even need a passport. I got the blood of Jesus. Gives me access, entrance all the time. All the time. You know, don't delay. Don't procrastinate. You have access to him all the time. Pastor, 24/7. Just say his name and he appears. Listen, all you need to do is worship and he inhabits. Some people tell me, you know, I feel God is so far off. When was the last time you said his name in faith? I feel God is so far off. When was the last time you worshiped him? Because he'll be right there. Because he'll stop what he's doing. And come right onto the scene. Why? Because worship is the power that draws him on the scene. How many know worship is a tool? It's a weapon. God, know your weapons. You feel there's an evil spirit in your home, in the workplace, in my car. Don't fear. Worship. Well, you know, Pastor, you don't know. I feel this demonic activity. I don't care to know. Call upon the name of Jesus. That thing will bow. Put it on the run. Tell that whose child you are, who's for you, who's got your back, who's alongside you, who went before you. That's the time when my sister here was saying, the power, the word of your testimony. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. This is what he's done for me. And this is what he keeps doing for me. And this is what he wants to do for you. The price for it, let me say this. The price for your need has already been paid. The price for whatever it is that you need has already been paid. Paid in full. So go and receive it. Take it. Receive it. It's already been given to us. How many can say amen? Amen. And it's coming down. I hear that rain. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yeah, showers of blessings. Hallelujah. Washing away, cleansing, washing. Bringing life to that which must grow. Bringing life to the seed that's been planted that must sprout and flourish and grow in Jesus' name. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Somebody say amen. Amen. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Let me just say this. The kingdom of God in you should not be shaken. You got to know that you know that you know who God is and who you are through Christ Jesus. That cannot be shaken. If you begin to doubt, that means you've turned part of the kingdom of God over to the enemy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is Christ in you, Father in you, Holy Spirit in you. When some of those things are shaken with fear and doubt, that means that part of God's kingdom in you, you've turned over to the enemy. Because God says his kingdom cannot be shaken. And his kingdom is in you. Doesn't matter how you feel, brothers and sisters. Listen, I know some of you are not feeling so wonderful, but yet, I don't know how you got here, but praise God you got here. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken in you. Some of you, you know, we come in pain, but we come. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken in you. You got to bow down to that thing. God says, stand, arise. Children of God, stand and declare. And when you stand, the word of God says, stand strong. How do you stand strong? I stand on the rock. That's how I stand strong. I stand upon his word. That's how I stand strong. I stand in faith. That's how I stand strong. I stand upon the power of his blood and his name. That's how I stand strong. Will not be moved. Cannot be moved. This is my hero right there in the second row. Honest to goodness. This is my hero right there. Living the word. What a model, what an example. Heroes all around us. living out the walk. How many know the walk is hard? But God. But mercy and grace. Amen. How many know this is a marathon race run? And can I tell you, it matters how you run this race. It does matter. It matters to God. And when I say that, I don't mean that in this race you won't fall. You'll fall. You'll trip. But you know what matters to God? Oh my gosh, there he is. There he is. They're getting up again. They're getting up again. They're getting up again. And they're crossing over the promised line. They're crossing over into the promised land. Listen, doesn't matter when I get there. Here's what I know. I will be there. I will be there. That's been promised to me. That's been promised to you. I'm going to get there. I'm going to cross over that finish line into the promised land. If I got to fall 1,000 times before I get there, so what? I know how to dust myself off, pick myself up, and I know how to reach out and say, God, give me your hand, because I'm holding on and I'm not letting go. You got to finish the race. Brothers and sisters, you got to finish the race. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Grace. Shout grace to the mountain. Grace, grace, grace. And watch that mountain come down. By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And to that I just want to say, it also matters how you serve God. And I'm going to finish with this. Are we doing communion today, Pastor? Okay. I'm going to finish with this. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That doesn't mean be afraid of him. That means be in love with him, be in awe of him, know that he is reverential and holy. It matters how you serve. If you serve him casually, it's not good enough for him. Or it may be good enough for you. But God is intentional. Can I tell you something? If you remember, if you would read again the Gospels about how Jesus died on the cross and rose again, nothing about what he did was casual. It was all intentional. He knew, and he did it anyway. And he did it just the way the Father asked him to do it. With reverence to the Father, obedience to the Father, honoring the Father. I do this because I love you. I do this because I love them. I do this unto you, my Father. I die for them and I will rise for them. How are you serving God? Are you serving God in like manner? Are you serving God reverentially? Are you serving God with that awe of who he is, that he chose you? That he gave his life for you. It matters how you serve God. I don't know about you, but I'm not a waitress. It's one of the industries I have never been employed in. And I've been employed in many different industries. I was just too, what can I say? What's the word? I would trip over a lot of different things. You know, so I was an accident going someplace to happen. If I brought you your dinner, if I brought you a plate, I would drop the plate. I was clumsy. That's the word I'm looking for. I would be a clumsy waitress. And how many know nobody tips a clumsy waitress? Nobody. You order your food and it winds up on your lap. She's not getting tipped. And I'd do that in my house all the time. I was clumsy at, I'd make the food, I'd serve the food. I don't know what happened. By the time I brought it to you, I'd trip, I'd fall, I'd drop it, it'd be on your lap. So guess what? I never took up that job. I thought, no, I'm not going to be successful at this. Why do I go there? Simply for this reason. How are you serving God? Are you clumsy in your service to God? Are you tipping God instead of giving him from the top? Somebody spoke to us about tithes and offering. Our precious sister Sally spoke to us about tithes and offering. Do we tip God? Whatever we have left over, Lord, it's yours. And I give it to you with reverence. God's saying, it's unacceptable. For all he cares, you could have it back. I know that's a hard message, but I'm giving it. But how are you giving it? And she mentioned that. How are you giving? How do you present your tithe? How do you present your offering? How do you serve in the church? How do you greet? How do you usher? How do you work the sound? How do you do praise and worship? Because we do it doesn't mean that God accepts it. You're just doing it. God rejects some service. So I think maybe this year we ought to check our heart and say, God, am I doing this for nobody, for no reason, for no purpose, for no gain? I need to get a revelation of how you want me to serve you. The Word of God tells us reverence and godly fear. And then last verse, for our God is a consuming fire. Go ahead and close your Bibles. I thank God that He's a consuming fire. I thank God that fire represents passion, represents the heart ignited, a flame, something growing. There's something burning in you. I think Pastor said, as she was praying, desperate for Him. I'm praying these days that your body, your church, your bride, become desperate for you, that we are not satisfied with what we've done so far. If you've gone to 10 nations, go to 23. If you give your tithe, then give offerings above and beyond the tithe. You're serving as an usher. Be here as an usher. Know that you're ushering in the presence of God, the glory of God, and God's people. Serve with dignity and integrity. You're on this praise and worship team. Come when you're supposed to come. Practice when you're supposed to practice. Show up and understand who it is you are worshiping. It's not just singing a song and playing an instrument. That's not acceptable to God. So if you've been doing that for 10 years, guess what? No reward. No honor in that. And why am I giving such a strong message? Because it's only February. And we're in the new year. A new decade, a new time, a new season. And my brothers and sisters, we got to get this right. We got to get this right. My first goal is to revere Him and honor Him. But then I want the power that I read about my brothers and sisters, that when they walked, their shadow healed the sick. There's a reason why the bride of Christ does not have that power today. And all I've just touched on is some of it. And I'll close with this. Father God, I just want to thank You. Lord, help me and forgive me if this is too strong. But we got to get this right. Starting with me. We got to turn some things around. We got to do some things different. We can't come to church in a casual manner thinking that it's just Sunday. We've done this for the last 10 years. It's going to be the same old thing. It's not. Lord, help us. Help us to see You and hear You in a different way. Help us in our hearts to be hungry for You, Lord Jesus, to hunger and thirst for You like we've never done before, in a new way, in a different way, Lord Jesus. Help us to wake up dissatisfied with where we are in our walk with You, wanting more consecration, wanting more submission, wanting in and of ourselves to bow before You a surrendered life, Lord Jesus, surrendered life. Any other God before us, Lord, we decide it's coming down this year. If it's the job, if it's the career, if it's the paycheck, if it's the husband, the wife, the child, whatever it may be, if it's your youth, if it's your degree, if it's your intelligence, whatever, if it's your money, whatever it may be, that God bows down this year in Jesus' name. No other gods before You, we declare, Lord Jesus. And Lord, where we are blind and we don't even see it, then open our eyes, Lord. Remove the scales that still blind us, Lord, so that we might see that which we put before You. Lord, You're speaking and we're not hearing, we're not listening. Then touch our ears today, Lord, that we might hear Your voice speak to us. We can come to the mountain, Lord Jesus. We are children of the new covenant. We can come to Mount Zion. We don't say at Mount Zion, oh, I can't hear his voice, I can't stand. No, we say at Mount Zion, speak, Lord, and I will listen. I love your voice. I love to hear you speak. It's a new day. And Jesus is coming very soon. So I pray not only for your bride, Lord. I pray for this nation. I pray for our president, Lord Jesus. I pray for the nations. Surrendered, submitted to your lordship is what I pray. Jesus, come soon, but I pray every day that we seize the moment to bring you in a harvest. Harvest of souls, sons and daughters. Strengthen your bride. Encourage your bride. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for being merciful toward us. Thank you for bestowing honor. You honor us. Thank you for healing us, enriching us, Lord. Thank you for making us one. We've gathered here together in this place today as one, declaring our love for you, our worship of you, and our reverence towards you. We give you all the praise and glory. And the people of God, we say, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Yi. We would always say this, that time is a gift from God. Time is equivalent to opportunity. And this is an opportunity given to many, to all of us. First, for those who have not yet committed their lives to Christ. Coming to church is never meant to be a ritual. But coming to church should always be hearts excited to meet the Lord in a fresh way. Coming to church is, at times we might not know what's in your heart, whether you're a young person or older person, but coming into the presence of God, because we're going to have communion today, and we never want this taken lightly, but our prayer is that as the opportunity is given to someone or to anyone to come to the Lord, whether your being here is just like you're forced, but never, the Lord doesn't want that from any one of us. He wants us to come seeing him for who he is, that he is such a loving God. What Jesus did on the cross, now if you and I make that decision to accept Christ in our lives, that is the best decision that anyone can make. And I pray that if you came here with not yet having a full understanding, I pray that you will have that full understanding that God loves you. God loves us. And if you're someone who have known the Lord for quite a while, this is also an opportunity for us to experience how abundant the grace of God is. Even when we stumble and fall, he picks us up and he upholds us. And what a time that we can celebrate what Jesus did at the cross. When we are about to take this communion, but I would lead some of you in prayer. First, I would like to address this to someone, to a heart that has never accepted Christ yet. You know, he is an eternal God. He's preparing us for eternity. Life is short. I would always refer to what just happened recently. Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter. Life was snatched away just like that. So it's a humble reminder for us that life is short and we don't control it. And so when an opportunity is given to us, that's God speaking to our hearts. Take this opportunity. Receive my son in your life. He's my gift to you. So if you feel that God is speaking to you, I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. And my prayer is that as I ask you either to raise up your hand and your heart to God. Today, Lord, I would like to seize this opportunity and receive you, Jesus, in my life. So if you're that person, just lift up your hand. It's a way of just acknowledging, making a public acknowledgement that I would like to make that decision for Christ. If there's anyone here who would like to receive the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. I would lead you in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner, and I am in need of your forgiveness. And I believe in you that you are the Son of God, that you came to die on that cross for my sins. So today I receive you as my Savior, and I make that decision that you be the Lord of my life, that you guide me from this day on with your word and through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And if anyone came needing a fresh touch from the Lord, we're going to come before the Lord in prayer and just thanking him. What was shared earlier by Pastor Ayida, even myself, it's a self-examination, a time to examine ourselves, even in the way we serve God. So let's just thank him that it's a privilege to be called a co-laborer in Christ. Hallelujah. To be a part of the unshakable kingdom of God. Let's get excited. Let's get excited that Jesus is coming back so soon. And he's here to inspire us more. That we all be occupied doing the Father's business. Amen. Father God, thank you for a time that we can express our gratitude to you, Father God, for giving Jesus to us. You love us so much that you would want us to spend eternity with you because you are the eternal God, everlasting God. And your love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. Lord Jesus, we come to you as your sons and daughters. We thank you that we can have access to your throne of grace. Lord, we don't want to take communion lightly, but this is a time for us to remember from the words of our Lord Jesus, to remember him and what he has accomplished at that cross. Today, we thank you that our sins are forgiven. Today, we thank you, Lord, oh God, that, Lord, there's healing made possible because of the stripes that Jesus had on his back, Lord God. By his stripes, we are healed. Lord, we thank you even for the supernatural grace and provision for all of our needs, oh God, in spirit, soul, and body, even our emotional needs, God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you that many are delivered from depression, oh God, from hopelessness, oh God. Lord, we thank you that there's an exchange that has happened today. We exchange our limited strength with your supernatural strength. We exchange, Lord God, our depression and hopelessness and loneliness with the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength, oh God. Lord, oh God, we thank you, Father God, that, Lord, because you have no favoritism, what you did to someone, a miracle you performed in someone's life, we are all candidates for a supernatural power, Lord God, made manifest, Lord God, in our lives, that we can say that the God that we serve is a loving God, that the God we serve is alive and still performing miracles. And this, we're asking for your name's sake and for your glory, oh God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Holy Spirit, even as we take this time, Lord God, to remember Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. If you're a believer, in your own words, begin to thank God for the cross. Thank you, Lord. As we call on the ushers and as the elements are being passed, let's just thank God. Be a moment of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We always turn to the scriptures because what we do is based on God's word. Partaking communion is such a precious moment for us. As I read from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you and I proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A person ought to examine himself or herself before he or she eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." Time for us to examine ourselves. Father God, we thank you for this time you've given us, and we know that this is a gift from you. When eternity is hanging in the balance, there's a powerful reminder from your word that, Lord, you are still every day, every moment, still calling people to you. And that's because of your mercy and grace. We do not deserve it, but yet, God, because you love us, you're still speaking to many hearts. We thank you for this time, for reminding us all that the gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life is not cheap. It's precious because it cost the life of Jesus. He shed his blood and he gave up his body that we may have the gift of eternal life. So, Father God, this time, you would like to obey our Lord Jesus, who is our faithful high priest, who watches over us. We thank you, Jesus, in obedience to your word, we are doing this to remember you, to remember your broken body, to remember the precious blood, your most precious blood that you shed at that cross. We have the forgiveness of our sins, and through that same blood, we are overcomers. We have overcome Satan, the accuser of the brethren, that we are victorious in Christ because of what you have done at the cross. That all of our needs, spirit, soul, and body, they're ours in Christ alone. And so, Lord, as we partake this bread, we thank you, Jesus, and we remember you. You gave up your body so that we can be made whole. You know what we are going through, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing all of these things for us as we partake the bread, remembering Jesus for what he has done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. This cup that represents your blood, Lord Jesus, and thank you for what you have done at that cross. Thank you for your most precious blood. We are covered by the blood of Jesus, and we thank you for its power. It never loses its power. That's upon us, not just individually, but Lord, even corporately as a church. Thank you, Father God, for touching us today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. Glory to God. And so, can I say this also? That was a clear message that Sister Sally, Elder Sally, shared about giving our tithes and offering. And every time we take a second offering for someone like Pastor Ayida that shares the gospel, the word of God to us, amen, we're grateful. We're so grateful. And so as I call on the ushers, as we take our second offering, know this. The word of God says whatever you and I do, we do it as unto the Lord. Let's get excited about giving this as unto the Lord so that his servant be blessed too. That we're praying that there will be more open doors of opportunity, Pastor Ayida, for many more to hear the gospel through your life. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord right now. Lord, we thank you, God, once more. It's always a good time for us, because the word of God, it's a good thing to give thanks unto you, Lord God. We're so thankful for your faithful servant, Pastor Aida. We thank you that her life is a model to all of us. That, Lord, oh God, she's here, she's standing here preaching the word of God, being an example of your abundant grace that's flowing through her life. We thank you that, Lord, oh God, that you're continually comforting her. And God, and the anointing upon her life, oh God, continually increase as many more will hear the word of God through her life, Lord God. Many will be touched and blessed. And so, Father God, as we take this second offering as unto you, God, bless Pastor Aida. Thank you also for Sister Dina who shared with all of us, oh God, what she has experienced through your life, that, Lord, there's healing in your name, Lord God. Continually bless Sister Dina and also Sister Akila who's with us today. What a blessed time that we could meet people, Lord God, who also loves you. And, Lord, this is an encouragement to all of us that you're touching many lives, God, who are making themselves available to serve you, God, in whatever way. And so bless your people today as we give. Bless them, Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So we're going to have lunch after the service, and then right after that, we're going to show the movie Breakthrough. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's all rise up. Praise God. Final blessing. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Lord, once more, we thank you, God, for this time. And we thank you, Father God, that, Lord, as I ask that you stretch forth your mighty hand upon the lives of your people, upon this congregation, that your light continually shine upon our lives. That, Lord, oh God, that you be our protection. Father God, with all that's happening around us, with all the coronavirus, we know that, Lord, oh God, as we say, let the redeemer of the Lord say so, that our Lord is our refuge and our strength. Hallelujah. No plague shall come near us. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us. We thank you for the wisdom that, Lord, oh God, that you're imparting upon your people, oh God. We thank you, Father God, even for your provision that, Lord, as you bless us, to the beyond blessed, Lord God, exceedingly and abundantly, for the main purpose, oh God, that we be a blessing to others, God. These coming days, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, and may we seize every open door for us to share the gospel to others. You're reviving us, oh God, and we thank you for that, Lord God. We even commit to you, Lord God, the remainder of this day as we partake our lunch together. We thank you for supplying for our needs as a church, God. And above all, bless the time, the fellowship, oh God, that we can be an encouragement to one another. We give you praise. And Lord, thank you once more for what you have done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then we could go to the office. Praise the Lord. Oh, you have a breakthrough movie. Yes.